The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, reading from verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now we want this morning to think upon the words that we have in verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Now we have in this account the account of a wonderful and beautiful account of Lydia, who is gloriously converted. Lydia, whose heart the Lord opens. Now last Sabbath day we spent time thinking upon the four different types of heart that the seed is sown onto. We thought of the hard ground, we thought of the stony ground, we thought of the thorny ground, and then there was the good ground upon which the seed is sown. And we considered how important it is that as the seed of the Word of God is sown, that our hearts are prepared by God Himself to receive the good seed. The heart that is the good ground is ground that has been prepared by God Himself to receive the seed. In the evening, we then went on to think of the seed that actually is sown and brings forth fruit. The Lord says it is first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn within the ear. Now, all of these parables are teaching us the necessity of a great change. They are teaching us what the Lord Himself said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now these parables and the truth of Scripture are not just doctrines that are cold and fusty doctrines that are to be learned in the head, but they are truths that come to pass in the lives of individuals. You not only see the necessity of the change, but the character of that change. You see the means by which that change is brought about in the life of Lydia. How when she went down on the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, she went down to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And when she came to the riverside, little did she know that that day she would meet with a man called Paul. And little did she know that in meeting with this man Paul, she would discover something even greater. And that is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That she would hear the words of the gospel, and that her heart would be open to it, and that she would be wonderfully changed. Now this morning we want to do three things. We want to first of all generally introduce a couple of points to open up the account for us. But then we want to go on secondly to look at the condition in which Lydia was found when she went down to the prayer meeting. And thirdly, we want to look at how the Lord dealt with her. Now this morning we will not exhaust the account of Lydia. We will just look at these three points. A general introduction, the condition in which she was in, and the circumstances of how the Lord dealt with her. Let us then, first of all, introduce with two very simple points this whole account. We are told in verse 13 that on the Sabbath day Paul went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And he sat down and spoke unto the woman which resorted thither. And the first thing we want to notice is that the apostle comes down by the riverside. How typical it is that the Lord would do a mighty work by the riverside. It wasn't in the great synagogue of the day. It wasn't among the great and the prosperous. It wasn't among the scribes and the Pharisees. It was simply down by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And I think if you were to ask many people today, even in our own day, where the great places of religion are to be found, the last place you would probably be given as an answer is at a prayer meeting. Is it a place simply beside the river where they had met in order for prayer? If you were to ask people today, the great places in Britain, as to where the mighty religious men are to be found, you would probably be told Westminster Abbey, Yorkminster, perhaps some of the great and mighty buildings in the cities of our land. You probably would be directed to all the priests and prelates dressed up in all their great clothing. But yet, when the Lord blessed this woman, she was blessed by the riverside at a place where prayer was wont to be made. I'm sure some of you have read the book by Charles Spurgeon. And it's a book that's called Only a Prayer Meeting. Only a Prayer Meeting. And in that book, he starts off by really showing how today, or in his own day, people looked on a prayer meeting and they said, well, it's only a prayer meeting. And perhaps that's the attitude that many would have today. On a Wednesday evening, we gather only for a prayer meeting. Or on the Lord's Day, the Lord's people will gather, but it's only a prayer meeting. You can go to the great churches, and their doors will be wide open, and they will do perhaps many mighty works. And then you will come to a small group, and they will gather together, and it's only a prayer meeting. But yet, we are reminded in the account of Lydia that only a prayer meeting is a mighty place to be. It's the place where people are gathered to address the Almighty. It's through the preaching of the Word on the Lord's Day. It's through the preaching that is mighty to save. Yet, as one man has said before, the prayer meeting is the powerhouse, the engine room of the house of God. Let us never decry or think little of a prayer meeting. There have been many mighty things done in the place of a prayer meeting. But the second thing we want to point out to you in opening up this, is that it was in that prayer meeting that Lydia was found of the Lord. The Lord is found of them who seek them not. What a wonderful providence it was that brought this woman all the way from Thyatira. We are told she was a woman of Thyatira. She was a Gentile. But in her labors, in her work, she has come from Thyatira all the way down to Philippi. And you might think, and possibly she herself might even have thought, that things in this world just fall out by chance. When she was, as a seller of purple, left Thyatira to come down to Philippi, she might never have thought of the hand of the Lord in any of it. But yet, here she comes down and she goes to a prayer meeting by the riverside. And at the same time, the Apostle Paul, we are told that they go down by that very riverside where the prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither. How wonderful the providence of God. Maybe there are some in here today who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're able to look back in their own experience. And they're able to see how the Lord has directed them, even before they came to know Him. They're able to say, He knew them. And what a wonderful providence it was, the first time when they were brought face to face with the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their lives. And when the Lord blessed it to them. What a wonderful providence it was. Think even of the thief on the cross. Think of the providence of God that brought him at the end of his life. He is about to enter into eternity. And at that moment, in the providence of God, he meets with the Lord Jesus Christ by his side, himself suffering and dying on that cross. What a wonderful providence. I read just this last few days the life of George Mueller, and I'm sure many of you will have read his life. When he was a young man, he ended up in prison for being deceitful, for theft. And when he came out of prison, he started once again his studies at university, and he decided that he would become a minister, a cleric. But the trouble was, his heart was closed to the Lord. But what a wonderful providence it was that in that university he met with another student who told him about him of a prayer meeting on a Saturday night where they met to study the Bible. And his interest was aroused. And he went to that prayer meeting, that Bible study. And we're told that he heard men there praying the way he could never pray because his heart was closed. But wonderfully, the Lord opened his heart. In the providence of the Lord found him, and the Lord opened his heart. Two or three means of introduction so far as Lydia is concerned. She was there by the riverside, and in the providence of the Lord brought the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to her. But let us, in the second instance, consider for a moment the condition that this woman was in as she came down to the riverside. And she came down and she's just like in the position that many people today are in. You can take us all these 2,000 years back to the time of Lydia, and you see her coming to the riverside. And what was it that brought her there? What was it that took her to this place? Well, we know, like she's just like many today. First of all, she was a Gentile proselyte. She wasn't a Jew by birth. She was a Gentile proselyte. In the day when our Lord came, and the day we're reading of here, there were many Gentiles who came to the door of the synagogues. They were proselytes to the Jewish religion. And this was one woman who was in that place. And what an encouragement that is that a Gentile would come to the door of the synagogue. It reminds you of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. He doesn't only say, you must be born again, Nicodemus. But here is a great encouragement. Nicodemus believes that salvation is of the Jews. And the Lord says to him, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that whosoever will believe in his name shall be saved. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, whosoever will believe in the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great encouragement, because now you come to this Jewish, this Gentile proselyte to the Jewish faith, and he or she is coming down and worshipping at the side of the river. And it is that Gentile proselyte that the Lord opens her heart. But it's not just that she comes down there as a Gentile to the synagogue, but we also find that she's a devout woman. She's a devout woman. She comes to the place of the prayer meeting. She comes to that place where prayer was wont to be made. And the picture you have of her is of one who was a devout woman. One who was sincere. Let us never think that people who follow after false religions are not sincere. They're very sincere. Even someone like Lydia, who comes down to the riverside as a Jewish proselyte seeking there the place of prayer, she's sincere. But there's one thing that's wrong with her, and that is that her heart is not open. Her heart is not open. Think of what it says in verse, she came down, she worshipped God. Here was a sincere woman who wasn't worshipping Allah, but who sought to worship God. And yet, it needed the Lord to open her heart. Her heart was closed. Her heart was closed. You know, I was reading, I mentioned on Wednesday night, I was reading the life of George Whitefield. And when you go back to the life of George Whitefield, and you go back to the time just before George Whitefield was born, and at the time when he was born into this world, the religious state of our country was terrible. There were those who came and denied the truth of Scripture. There were deists. There were all the same things that you find rising up again in our own day. A denial of God, a denial of Scripture. And you know, whenever the church sought to give an answer to it, it was simply facts and nothing of the heart. In George Whitefield's day, even the clerics that covered the face of the land, it was only simple facts that they believed in, but nothing of the heart. What a strange day that we're in our own day, where we're told that the Prime Minister of our land, when he seeks to go to war, he prays. Now, I don't know to whom the Prime Minister prays or not. I'm not commenting on that, or what his religious beliefs are. I don't want to comment on that. But what a strange day we're in when the Prime Minister of our land says that he prays when he goes to war, and every paper in the country ridicules the very notion or idea of anybody praying. That was there in George Whitefield's day. You see, people can have a religiosity, but yet no heart religion. Lydia here, sincerely, she went down to the riverside. She worshipped God. She was in the place where prayer was wont to be made. And yet she, as a devout woman, needed the almighty power of Almighty God to open her heart, that she would attend to the things of the apostle, that she would attend to the things of the Word of God. Andrew Gray, way back in the 1800s, he preached a sermon. And I think it's a sermon that many of our own forefathers in the Free Church in the 1800s took cognizance of, because they spoke about the bars to salvation that hold the door of the heart closed. If you ever go to a great, you know, some of these great castles or whatever, and there's dungeons or whatever, there's a great door that closes. And they can pull the door closed in the prison. And then they put bars across. The bars go through the loops from the door right into the side of the door. And it's these bars that keep the doors closed. And they put bars across it so that the doors are firmly shut. Well, Andrew Gray, when he preached, he says, you know, there are bars across the heart of man by nature that keeps the heart closed, and firmly closed, against the truth of the gospel. What are some of these bars? Well, I think he mentions nine of them. He says that there is, first of all, the bar of ignorance. Man by nature is ignorant and blind to the things of the gospel. And it's like this door being closed and that bar being put across. A bar of ignorance. They hear, but they do not understand. There is spiritual ignorance to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers the heart of man as he has fallen in his nature. A bar of ignorance. And that's a bar that needs to be removed. And then there is the bar of unbelief. That bar that closes the door of unbelief, that simply rejects and does not believe the testimony of God as it is in Christ. It's like the hard soil that we spoke of when you walk over it and it's hard, compacted, unbelief, skepticism. So that when the seed is cast on top of the ground, the hardness of the ground, the birds of the air come and pluck it up before it even enters into it. There is the bar of unbelief. But then thirdly, there is the bar of enmity. The natural man, the carnal heart, is enmity against God. It is not and cannot be subject to the law of God. There is a natural enmity against the gospel in the heart of man by nature. You want the proof of that? There's no enmity in the heart of man to religion. At least not universal. Because man is religious. But you bring to bear the truth of the gospel, and you then see the enmity that there is in man's natural heart to the truth of the gospel. You want the evidence of that, go to Calvary. When Christ himself comes into this world, and when he there is presented to the people, what enmity. They spit upon him. They reject him. They cry, crucify him. The bar of enmity. But there is fourthly, the bar of pride. Of spiritual, of pride. The wicked, through pride, will not seek after God. There is pride in the heart of man that will cry out, I will not have this man to rule over me. There is the bar of despair that cries out, there is no hope. There is the bar of unwillingness. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. There is no will in man to come to Christ. There is the bar of worldly mindedness. Remember the thorns. The cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches. A bar that is there across the heart. But the heart is firmly closed to the truth of the gospel. The bar of sloth, of sleep and of slumber. For the prophet Amos says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and put that day far away from them. The bar of sloth. And then the bar of natural depravity. That even one sin, a sin that you love, a sin that is your pet, will so fill your heart that it is a bar to the things of God, and the heart is closed. Just like that door that is slammed closed, and each bar is put across, so that the heart is closed. Paul knew these bars. Lydia knew these bars. The prejudice of the heart against the things of God, to the extent that the Bible tells us, ye must be born again. It takes, as we are told here, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord dealt with Lydia in that time when the Apostle Paul came down and began to speak to her and to those who were there. Whatever happened to the rest of them that were there, we are told that the Lord opened Lydia's heart, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. How wonderful the glorious grace of Almighty God that will overcome all the bars. How wonderful the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself at Calvary has for his people taken away and removed these bars, has dealt with them, and now by the Spirit, applying that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he opens the hearts of hell-deserving sinners, such as you and such as me. The Lord opened her heart. Now, thirdly, how it was that the Lord did that. Well, you know, it's grace alone that can deal with your heart and that deals with my heart. Grace alone is able to do it. And you notice, it says that he opened her heart. The heart in Scripture is so often spoken of as the whole moral and rational nature of man. If you just deal with the affections, and in the grace of God, the affections are dealt with, but if you just deal with the affections, if you just have an appeal for a decision for Jesus, then you're not dealing with the heart. What is needing to be dealt with is the will, the conscience, the understanding. The whole heart of man is needing to be dealt with. And so often what you hear today in so-called evangelistic preaching is only set to deal and to touch the affections. And that's not the heart. It's part of it. But it's not the heart. Lydia's affections might have been stirred up there as she was down at this place. And sometimes perhaps your heart, your affections might be stirred up in a moment of time. under the preaching of one sermon. But it's not just the affections, it's not just the emotions, it is the heart that is needing to be dealt with. We are told here, the Lord opened her heart. Wasn't Paul, you know, this is what we were saying last week, when the seed is sown on the soil, when there's first the blade and then the ear and the full corn in the ear, it wasn't Paul that made the difference in Onesimus, who came down and heard the word from the mouth of the apostle. It was God. It's God. It's God blessing his word. And you know, it's almost as though when we're told about this woman, she's not only a Gentile, she's not only from Thyatira, she's a seller of purple. And she's a woman who's a seller of purple. It's almost as though when we're being told who this woman is, she's not a rich person. She's not a person who goes to university or has been to college. She's not a person who is we're told, has great intellect so far as the sciences or philosophies are concerned of this world. She's a seller of purple. A worthwhile, noble trade. But a trade that doesn't mean to say that she's been to university and been to the God degrees and this, that and the other, and now she's fit to hear the gospel and to receive the gospel. Not at all. She's a woman who's there, devout woman. She's worshipping God, but she needs the Lord to open her heart, and the Lord opens this poor woman's heart, and she attends to the words that the apostle says to her. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Now, here is a direct work of the Spirit of God, opening our heart, that the light of the truth of the gospel, first of all, her understanding. She begins to attend to what the apostle's saying. She understands what it is to be saved. She now begins to understand what it is truly to come into the presence of the Almighty and truly to worship God. Her understanding and the light of the truth floods into her heart, her understanding. And her conscience. The conscience is part of her heart. Her conscience is opened so that she begins to feel the convicting and the convincing power of what the apostle is saying as he preaches to our Christ. Have you ever come to the house of the Lord and the providence of the Lord? He's used his own word to open your conscience and to show that when here she was in the midst of worshipping God, and yet the Lord opens her heart, opens her, she attends to the things that the apostle says. It's not just her conscience, but her very heart is opened, that the Holy Spirit and the sanctifying aspects or influences of the Spirit of God are evident in her heart. And how does this come about? It's because the Holy Spirit, because the Lord, by the Spirit, the apostle comes. It's not the apostle because he's got great wisdom of words. The apostle tells us he doesn't have great wisdom of words. It's because the Spirit, first of all, opens the Scripture to her. And at the same time, he opens her heart to the Scripture. We've got an example of that already in the Scriptures. When you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and when you come to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's risen from the dead. And in in chapter 24, and first of all, in verse 24. Chapter 24 and verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's opening through them the scripture. And in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished. Their eyes were opened. Now you might think, well, perhaps the ministers here are pushing it a bit far. He's just opening the scriptures, and then their eyes were opened. But look at what it says again in verse 45. And then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And what about the scriptures then? And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The Lord opened to them the scriptures, and the Lord opened their hearts, that they would see wondrous things out of his law. Now time has not permitted us to go further, but can we just close this morning by seeing in Lydia that simple attendance at the riverside wasn't sufficient. Simple attendance at worshiping God wasn't sufficient. There needed to be that great and mighty work of grace. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Doesn't matter who we are, we need to be born again. Are you born again? Do you know what it is to attend to the things that the apostle and that the Word of God says to us? To attend to it in a way that hitherto she didn't know, because the Lord had opened her heart. Onesimus, an unfaithful servant, heard the gospel, no doubt, in his own home in the house of Philemon, comes to Rome, and the Apostle Paul preaches the same gospel again to him, but this time he attends unto the things that are spoken. George Muller, going to go into the ministry, went to a prayer meeting and discovered that his heart had to be opened to receive and to attend to the things that were spoken. Have we attended to the things concerning our undying soul that we can say the Lord has blessed us by his grace, and that this woman who was in many respects an insignificant woman, a seller of purple, and yet what the Lord did for her was mighty. He must be born again.